Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. I'm very excited for today's episode of Thanks for Coming In. If you have opened Netflix in the past week, you have seen a film right there when you open it called Fear Street 1994, which is based off of the books from R.L. Stine. And of course, there's two more films coming, 1978 and 1666. It's really crazy that they did all of these films back to back to back. It's really cool the way it was done. And I'm going to talk about it today with my guest, Julia Raywald. She plays Kate in 1994, and she's in 1666. Super, super cool movies. If you haven't watched them yet and you like classic horror films like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer, then you need to tune into this movie. I flippin' loved it. I thought it was just a blast. I had a great time talking to Julia about the making of these films and about her life as an actor. So here's my conversation with Julia Raywald. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I watched Fear Street 1994 the other day, and I freaking loved it.
Yay.
It was so fun. It's like, it was the classic, it felt like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer. It really felt like that classic 90s horror film.
Yeah, definitely. I think the like classic horror movies, those are the two that I think it really takes energy from.
It's so cool. And it's interesting that now there's going to be two more films and the different dynamics of, you know, different times and time zones and time periods. What was it like to film these three different films?
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy process. So I guess we started with 1994 first. So we flew out to Atlanta and did all the 90s stuff. And then when we were done with the 90s, we actually did 1666 next.
Oh, fun.
Because I think a lot of the cast from 94 overlapped with 66 a little bit more. So they just kept us there for 66. And then they brought in the cast members from 1978 who were also in the third one. And okay. It was cool. We got to all meet each other in the middle and do 1666 together. And then those of us from 94 then finished. And then they wrapped up doing a 74 at the end. So it was like bouncing around all the different times.
That's so cool, though. It's so rare to be a part of a franchise that does something like that, where they do back to back to back. I mean, most of the times you have years between films.
Yeah, no, it was definitely kind of crazy to get to do it all in a row. A big feat. It was like, I think 6 months total, I think about. Yeah, but it was nice. It was kind of just like go, go, go from beginning to end. And then it was all done. And it was like, wow, can't believe we did that.
Oh, wow. And so your character in 1666, how fun was that to be in a time period that's obviously so long ago? I mean, a lot of the time period stuff right now is based in that Regency era or like the late 1800s, early 1900s. So what was it like to be all the way back in 1666?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. I think the first thing that we all had to do was we had like dialect coaching to try to speak in the dialect that they would have been speaking back then, which is like kind of, it's not fully British because they'd already moved over and like the British accent had already started to fade. So it was like a weird amalgamation of like different phonetics. But once we learned the dialect and started talking in that, it kind of really put us in the zone. And then when we got to set and saw that the village that they built, and I was like, oh, okay, now it really feels like we're here. We're like wearing these like thick, like corseted outfits. We're like in the dirt. There's farm animals everywhere.
Hey, I would have loved that. Farm animals everywhere. Oh my gosh, that would have been like the best.
Right.
Corsets. Oh gosh, that must have hurt a little.
Yeah, it was, I was excited because I was like, you know what, if we're going to do a 1600s thing, like, I kind of want my outfit to be as far away from what I wear as possible so I can, like, physically feel like I'm in it. And then when I would just have to get help from the costume department getting into and out of it every day. Whereas, like, in 94, I would just go in, dress myself, throw my clothes off at the end of the day and, like, change and leave. But here I was like, guys, can you help me?
Please, I can't breathe. Can you help? Wow. Well, obviously, the first one was a huge hit, and I'm sure the next ones will be too. But what got you started in this industry? I mean, what was it that made you say, I want to be an actor? I mean, it's such like a, you know, as actors, it's such like a commitment, right? To say I'm going to be an actor and then also follow through with it, which is something that a lot of people have a hard time doing. So what was it that made you say like, I need to do this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's see. So I guess I'd been acting my whole life. Like as a kid, it was my hobby. It was like musical theater and like whatnot. but I was also like super academic in school, and I come from like a family where like my dad's like a computer programmer and my mom is an attorney. So like, I don't think any of us really considered pursuing arts as like a realistic path after high school.
Yeah.
And I don't know what exactly like flipped the switch and like made me ask if I could, but at some point that happened at the end of high school and my parents were like, not super into the idea at first, but then they eventually came around when they saw like our senior play and they were like, we think you can do this, we'll support you. So then I was like, sick. And, then I had to start cramming for all those college auditions because I think at that point it became like a very last minute decision to like apply to art school. And then I ended up going to NYU, which is what brought me out here to New York for the acting program. And then I just have kind of been around here ever since. I started auditioning senior year of college and then kind of just still doing all that.
Still doing it, yeah. That's interesting. Was Tish your like first choice or did you apply to other places too?
I applied to a lot. I can't remember what my first choice was. It definitely wasn't NYU. I actually didn't look into any details about NYU because all I knew about it was that like everybody was like loved the program, but that it was also super expensive for tuition. Yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to apply, but I'm not going to consider it because that's going to be so expensive. but then when I had my audition, I remember it being the one audition where, like, I really liked the vibe. It seemed like they had a good energy and, like, it really just clicked. And then I was like, okay, like, actually, am I going to end up liking the most expensive option? Then I did. And I think it was also, like, I really wanted to move to the city. I'd actually never been here until I got into NYU and toured campus. But even before I visited, I kind of knew I wanted to go far away, go to a big city, just like jump in and try to like do the thing from go as soon as I graduated high school.
Are you from a smaller town?
Yeah, I'm from like a rural suburb, like 45 minutes outside of Sacramento, California.
Okay. Wow. That must have been a big change. Was it a shell shock or were you like so young that you were just like, oh, this is fun?
Yeah, it was definitely completely different than anything I'd experienced before. I think it was like only scary to me like the first day when my mom dropped me off at my dorm and then like left. And I was like nervous for like an hour when I was sitting alone in my dorm. And then I met up with a friend and we hung out. And then that was literally like only 1 hour of that window. I was like, I'm nervous. But then I got over that pretty quickly and just jumped right on into the life.
Right on in. I read that you you spent a semester at RADA. What was that like? How was that?
Yeah, that was that program was one of the reasons that I ended up picking NYU. So I was like, oh, I can study abroad in London, which is another city that I really wanted to visit. So I'm glad it worked out and I got into that program because I had to audition to get in. But it was a Shakespeare program and I really like have always loved Shakespeare since I was like a kid and I love performing Shakespeare and I wanted to study abroad. So I was like, this is a perfect fit. So it was like I was one of my highlights, I think, of college and going to NYU was that study abroad. Partially for like the travel and the like experience and whatnot, but I also really liked the program. I feel like it provided a good level of like structure and like some acting bits and that I still like use today, which is nice. And we got to do like some of my favorite Shakespeare stuff. So it was nice.
Yeah, that's always fun. I remember doing, I think it was Midsummer Night's Dream when I was like 10 at the Glendale Center Theater in LA. And I played a fairy, and I thought it was the best thing in the entire world.
Yeah, dude, Midsummer was the first Shakespeare play that I read, and that was I was like, oh, I'm in it.
You have me hooked. Yeah. I'm here. I feel like Shakespeare is also one of those things that, like, if you read it as a young child, it's one of those things that makes you want to be an actor. Like, you're just like, oh, this is interesting. This is new. I like this.
Yeah, and then if you read it in, like, class when, like, the teacher's like, okay, like, we can, like, act out this little bit. And I'm like, pick me.
Wow. So, okay, you finish college at Tisch, and then how long until you start auditioning? Is it immediate? Do you get representation immediately? What was the transition for you?
When was it? I think I was junior year. I found representation through one of like the showcase things we did at school. Mm-hmm. So I started auditioning like end of junior year, I think, and all of senior year. It was mostly commercial auditions to begin with, which was kind of like a nice transition in because they're more low key. And then, so my first job was an IKEA commercial. Amazing. Which was, you know, just the classic, like tidying up the room and whatnot. And then, so that's where I started auditioning in college, which was nice because it kind of made the post-grad transition like a little less scary. Like it didn't feel like I was done with school and now I just had to figure it all out. I kind of like was starting to get a feel for what it was going to be like while I was still in school.
Yeah, it is nice. It's interesting. I didn't go to college when I was supposed to go to college. I'm actually in college now, which is hysterical. Another story. But I always find it interesting when I talk to actors who did start auditioning in college, because I feel like it's such a difficult thing to do, especially in acting colleges where the hours are usually super intense. What was that balance like for you? I feel like that's something really, really important to talk about, especially for the young actors listening to the podcast.
True. I think I luckily had it a little bit easy, because I started planning like my academic schedule. So like NYU's program is a little different, where you have to do like academic classes on top of the acting program. Mm. But I had chosen to get rid of all my last academic classes summer school before senior year.
Oh.
And I had some AP credits from high school that helped me finish up early too. So I actually graduated a semester early.
Wow.
So I finished up in December instead of like May. Mm-hmm. And then that fall semester senior year, which was my last semester before I graduated, I was only like a part-time student. So I was only doing my acting classes, which I think was like 3 days a week. Okay. Which is not the normal case. No. I was just lucky that it worked out for me. So I tried to really like slowly work my way out of the structure of college. So I had a lot of time to start having like a part-time job and also audition. But my teachers also luckily were really understanding. And if like I had to leave class to go to an audition, I would just have to give them a heads up beforehand. Because I think I was at the film and TV acting studio at that semester. And so they were like, look, this is what we're training you for, is to like go out and audition and get jobs. So like, if that's what you're leaving class for, I'm not going to say no to that, because that's that would just defeat the purpose.
Yeah.
Very counterproductive. So they were really accommodating. Yeah.
That's good. It's good to hear that, especially in schools, because I know there are schools out there that would be like, you can't leave for this. So it's nice to hear that NYU has that flexibility for actors. So when did Fear Street come along? How long after college did that journey start?
Yes. Okay, let's see. So I was class of 2018.
Okay.
And then I had a self-tape audition for Fear Street December of 2018. Wow. And then I didn't hear back for a while, so I wasn't sure. I was like, usually if I have an audition, I don't hear back for like 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, not whatever, it's done.
Right. Cross that one off the list.
Yeah, right. Then I got an email, I think in like late January, that like Lee, our director, was gonna come to New York and have a director session with like the New York people that she wanted to see.
Oh, wow.
And then we had an audition, or a callback, I guess it was, with Lee and Carmen Cuba, the casting director. And then they emailed me the next day that I got it.
Wow. That's so quick.
Yeah, it was a little, I was like not expecting. I was like, oh, it's going to be like a grueling process.
Yeah.
But it was like so quick. But I did already, I did know Lee before.
Okay.
So now I have to get my timeline straight. fall of 2018, I shot a pilot with Lee.
Mm.
And we both ended up not like continuing with the show when it got picked up. Mm-hmm. But we met shooting that pilot, and she was like, oh, like, I'd love to work with you again on like this show or something else. And I was like, yeah, me too. And she told me that she was like getting ready to work on Fear Street. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then it ended up, we worked on this one together.
That's amazing. Not many times does that actually happen, when you like talk to somebody about working together again. It's like, oh yeah, let's work together again. And then you just kind of like see each other maybe 5 years down the road and you're like, oh, hey, let's do something.
Right.
Epic yeah. that just happened so quickly.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. And then did you have any like odd acting jobs in between graduation and then doing Fear Street?
Graduation and Fear Street. I think I might have had like another commercial or two. Mm-hmm. I think that was after graduation. I can't remember if the commercials I did were while I was in school or after. There was like a couple like small ones.
Yeah.
But I was like, sure. I was like, I could use the money to help pay New York rent. Yes, please.
Yes, please. I need that.
And then the pilot that I did with Lee was actually the first like non-commercial job that I booked. But then it doesn't feel like a real thing because I never got to see it. Mm. And I was a really small part in it too. So I was like, oh, so it really was like Fear Street was the first project that I actually feel like was mine.
Right. That's epic. So on this show, we like to share audition stories that have either gone awry or happy ones with happy endings or sad ones. Do you have any audition stories that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Oh, probably. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I like didn't think about this beforehand. But then as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, this is an easy story. Like the easy, like worst audition I've had ever was like a callback, actually, which I don't know how I even got a callback for it. But in college, like my first audition after I met my first agent was like for Hamilton.
Oh my gosh.
And it was for Eliza and the youngest sister.
Peggy.
Yes. And I like grew up doing musical theater. And like, I guess like, I would say like I have a good, like I can sing. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't sung actively since like freshman year of college. I took one musical theater class. So like I had not sung in years. And then this callback was like, it was the, it was like all the high note riffs, all the like very vocally demanding songs for these characters. And I had three songs that I had to do. And I think me and the casting director both knew like halfway through the first song that it just wasn't going to happen. We both knew what was going on. I was like, I can't hit half of these notes. But I sadly had to make him sit through the next two songs. I was like, we can just stop now. But I just was like, well, let's just do it. And then I was like, thank you so much for letting me sing really badly in front of you for the past 10 minutes. I'll see myself out now. And that was my first like audition ever. And I was like, I think maybe I'm going to go back to focusing on film and TV for the moment.
Oh, God.
No.
That, like, physically hurts me.
Right? I think I, like, went to some, like, pub in Times Square after. I was like, I need a drink. But it's like a funny story now. I'm like, yes, I embarrassed myself very badly in front of the casting team for Hamilton. But you know what? It's fun.
Hey, at least you committed to it. You like stayed with it. You were like, I'm going to do all these songs. I'm going to commit to the embarrassment. Thank you very much.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, gosh. That's a good one. I really like that one.
You.
So what's next for you? What's on the table?
I'm actually not sure at the moment. I'm like, I have nothing lined up as of now. I'm still auditioning, and then I have a few scripts that I like need to read through and like see what I want to do. But right now it all seems like, who knows? Could be anything. I'm hoping for something. Yeah. I would love to have something lined up coming up. Fingers yes. crossed.
Fingers crossed. What is what's like the dream role for you?
Let's see. I mean, kind of going back to early, like my one dream of mine is to like start doing like good Shakespeare film adaptations. Because I feel like we don't have a whole lot of Shakespeare on film that's good.
Right.
And I would love to like do some of that someday. I also love romantic comedies. Like I'm a Fred who's Simon in the movie and I, we're both like romantic comedy junkies. And I think it would just be so fun to do like something that has like kind of like the Nancy Meyers vibe, the When Harry Met Sally vibe, you know, like those kinds. I would love that.
Yeah. Rom-coms are the best. I think the Nora Ephron era of rom-coms was just the best that we have experienced. I feel like they haven't really made their comeback yet. So let's
work on that. I agree. I so agree. I think we need to bring back Nancy Meyer, Nora Ephron movies where it's like, there's heart to it, you know?
Oh, I like that. Where can people follow you on social media to keep up with all of your things?
Yeah, my Instagram is JulieB_Maria. And then, yeah, that's kind of where the only one that I really use for social media.
Hey, that's good. Using too many of them is just, it's a lot. I don't know how people do all of them constantly. Like, I see that they're posting on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, like, every day. And I'm like, how do you function?
Could it be me? Instagram's already overwhelming enough on its own.
I feel you. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so excited to see 1666 and how this trilogy wraps up. And I'm excited to see what you do in the future. I think you have a great career ahead of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Julia for coming on the show and talking with me. If you haven't watched Fear Street 1994, it's on Netflix now. The next one, 1978, drops tomorrow, and 1666 comes out July 16th. I know that I will probably be staying up till midnight to watch both of these new films. I just think that they're so fun. I love a good, fun horror movie. And Julia's great in 1994, and I cannot wait to see her performance in 1666. If you haven't yet, make sure to follow the show on social media. We post really fun IGTVs every Friday from these episodes, so check that out, and tune in next week for my conversation with Jacob Hopkins. And until then, have a great day, and as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.